Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford Books and of the Personal Development Program, The Laws of Material Wealth, which includes the book, a workbook with five exercises per chapter, four DVDs, CDs, and a support material package that goes with the 54 shows that we did when we started this show, the Laws of Material Wealth show. We started with these 54 programs. So your support material goes with the programs. And we'll be talking about some of the other things you can get information on later in the show. My host, or my guest this evening, is Kari Fliscus. And I'll tell you a little more about Kari later, after the Renford Revelations blog. But she's an author and designer and on the board of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, so you'll get a chance to meet one of the key players with the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. The blog tonight is an extension of last week. And we talked about the 13 universal principles of success. And tonight we're going to define them a little bit further. And you can get any of this information by going to iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org /blog. And that will take you directly to these blogs, and you can download whatever you would like to download. If you've got friends who would like to listen to the show but maybe are not online, don't have a computer, on the road, whatever, they can call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you'd like to ask a question, just hit the one button on your touch-tone dial, and that'll flag us to bring you in for your question of my guest, Kari Fliscus, or any question that you have of me. Now let's go to the blog, The Universal Principles Defined. These success principles I write about, teach, and help people identify and verify are actually the universal laws of life. Each has many facets, like the face of a well-cut diamond. Where do they come from? Who instituted or caused these laws to be in effect? How do we know they are the framework of our existence? I can point you in the direction of the answers. What I can tell you of my experiences might inspire you to look to your own experiences, but my experiences will not verify the universal laws for you, like the law of gravity, a law of physics. We can verify the universal laws only through our understood life experiences. These principles are aspects of the creative force that we can understand only through our own efforts to know our inner being. Fundamental to the understanding of this creative force is our understanding of who and what we are. The universal law of being, this is one of the laws, shows us that we have certain innate powers with which we can come into harmony with the universal laws. It is said a single cell in our body can be used to create another individual just like us. In other words, all the power to recreate us is in one cell. Likewise, we are cells of universal being, and all of the power of universal being is in us for creation. Creation is not over. We are the continuing creation. You, out of all the billions who have lived on Earth, are unique. Nowhere is there another individual exactly like you, yet you are a part of the whole. Polarity is often confused with duality. The philosophy of duality found in most organized religions creates an adversary who is comparable to God. To them, Satan is an almost equal but evil force who wars against God. What they call evil is actually the absence of light. Ignorance is an absence of light. Fear is at the root of all our failures and all our problems. Fear is the great Satan. like the allegorical beast in the book of Revelation, it comes from the abyss, the bottomless pit. With no bottom, there is no foundation. What is a bottomless pit but something with no basis in truth? The only power fear has is the power we give it. There is only one power in the universe, and that is the creative force many call God. This is the universal law of absolute unity as opposed to duality. And any form of dualistic thinking stretches the boundaries of logic. People who think they are being wise in the ways of the world often fall back on such sayings as, everything is relative. These are the same people who say, it is a matter of perspective. From our experience, we have to admit that everything in life appears to depend upon our attitudes and the positions from which we are observing. The universal law of proper perspective refers to the fact that we attract the lessons we need. Life is made up of and is the result of the choices we make. When we are aware of who we are and what we are, our perspective is very different from our relative, mechanical, and physical perspective. The influence and pressure of pseudoscience accepts the human brain as some sort of God, a phenomenon that can figure its way out of this trap we are in on earth and the process of living and dying. It is a great instrument, but that is all it is, an instrument of the mind. The brain and the mind are dependent upon each other for creation, but they are not the same. The universal law of pure potentiality goes beyond the saying that anything the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. Thought creates form, and without thought there can be no form. Everything, including the trees outside, had to exist in thought in order to raise our conscious thought from the relative level. It is necessary to still the mind. The Buddhists say we have to reach no thought, and in the Hebrew scriptures we are told to be still and know. All thoughts create constructively or destructively. One as easily as the other. We must take full responsibility for what we are creating. It is our lives. Those on a spiritual path seek the experiential event that goes beyond the senses. Many, however, want to be entertained or titillated by psychic experiences. Jesus told us to seek the kingdom first. That is the I am consciousness within, and all else would be added. If we seek the peripheral benefit, he said, that this would be our only reward. The universal law of evolution and unfoldment, when understood, reveals our purpose for being here. Jesus called these understood life experiences treasures that are to be laid up in heaven instead of on earth. Our understood life experiences are all that we take with us. Our purpose is to experience, learn, and continue the creative process. We do not need fear-based thinking or a fear-based attitude toward life and God. The extended carrot in one hand and the stick that will rain down upon us for an eternity if we make a mistake is a concept found in most organized religions. There are those who reward themselves and beat themselves up with good and bad karma. True understanding of karma is an understanding of balance. It is the law of cause and effect. Where we have an imbalance in nature, it moves to fill the void. Where we have spiritual imbalances, the universal law of balance and equalization brings the experience we require for our learning. Why do religious leaders emphasize the word faith when referring to religion? It is a retreat from defeat at the hands of the high priest of science. As long as religious leaders can say that religion is a matter of faith, proof is unnecessary. What they are referring to is blind faith in their creeds, doctrines, and dogmas. Blind faith can lead us to disaster, and all the knowledge in the world without the faith to act is useless. Christian texts say wisdom comes from God. Buddhist texts say that this wisdom is without words and comes directly from our Buddha nature, the one within. The universal law of believing and knowing brings one to the realization that belief and knowledge are two sides of the same coin. In fact, true faith and self-knowledge equal wisdom. The ultimate blame game is to lay the fault with God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. In other words, everything is God's fault. Many see the world as one of random chaos, even while professing a belief in God and divine order. Those with this mindset view their lives as a series of obstacles that constantly bombard them, and they fend off disaster or succumb to the will of a harsh God. The universal law of attraction, when understood, exposes the fallacy of this doctrine. It means that we attract what we require when we require it for our process of evolution and unfoldment. When we take responsibility for what we have attracted, it is easier to see the universal law of abundance. We have already been given everything we could possibly need, and it has always been there for the taking. We need only come into harmony with the laws. Seek first the being within, and all else will be added. This is not a world of shortages. The only limitations we face are the ones we create and believe. There is an element in society that avoids steps toward clarity. They like any degree of certainty about anything. It is under the guise of avoiding absolutism that they are heard to say, "It is all relative." Taking hard and fast positions of an absolute nature can be dangerous to our spiritual unfoldment, but to fall back on the claim that everything is relative is a way of avoiding individual responsibility. The universal law of relativity refers to the fact that every action has a reaction and that all is related to all. It is from the oneness of absolute unity that the diversity of many is expressed. Metaphysical studies are for those who desire contact with the real world. Living in a world of illusion and relative conscious thought, many think that the real world is looking out for number one, because no one else will. Advocates of this worldview are generally talking about material matters. We do have a primary purpose that we cannot allow others to interfere with, but this is not a matter of selfishness. Selfishness goes against the law of giving. The universal law of righteous self-interest has to do with fulfilling our primary purpose for being here. To thine own self be true. Loving and caring people say the world is about giving, about sharing with those less fortunate. The universal law of giving is a true and divine principle. In order to receive abundantly, we must give. If we are not givers, we cannot expand our receptacle for receiving. If we want wisdom or material abundance, the same process is in effect. We are responsible for the preparation to receive. When we share our wealth or knowledge, we are making room for receiving this abundance. Those who have achieved success in any field of endeavor recognize that you get out of something what you have put into it, and usually in multiples. There is more to the law of love than simply saying we all need to love our fellow man. We must experience it. We can express and experience it in many ways. According to the Masters, the universal law of love is the interconnecting energy. It is the makeup of the creative force, God. Quantum physics talks about a unified field, but not recognizing what it is, they are still looking for it. Native Americans named it All That Is, and the Chinese call it Tao. Buddhists call it Dharma, and Jesus said it is the way, the truth, and the light. We cannot afford blind faith in what someone else believes. We can come to know universal being through coming to know who we are. We can do this by identifying incidents in our lives in relation to the universal laws. This is our study, our life, and our creation. These laws are not the exclusive property of a cult or secret conclave of mystics. They have been discovered, taught, and written about down through the ages. The universal laws are the single most important and convincing evidence of the existence of universal being, or God. The laws of nature verify them, and we humans illustrate them. The universal laws were important enough that all the sayings and parables of Jesus, the stories of Buddha, The Vedic writings and the first philosophy, as revealed by Aristotle, are all about them. There is obviously something critical about these laws. These universal principles go beyond any discipline, any doctrine, and any dogma. There is simply nothing more important for us to understand than how to be in harmony with them. And that is our Renford revelation for this evening. My guest, Kari Fleskis, is a most accomplished young lady. She has won awards for her music. She's played a leading role in a film. She's an artist, illustrator, jewelry designer, authored her first book in 2007, and is head of IMCN, I Am Creative Network, department of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, and it's part of an outreach program to artists, authors, and actors. She's involved with online marketing. She's made a number of tours. She won the 2012 Bell Awards Designer of the Year and the 2011 Yobi Sings Singer of the Year. She has a website. You can go up on YouTube. You can see her perform. And it's a pleasure to have her with me on the Laws of Material Wealth tonight. Welcome to the show, Kari.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just blowing and going.
That was such a nice introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's well-earned, and you spent a lot of time on it. You recently made a tour across, I guess you went pretty much across the whole United States, didn't you?
Yes, we went. It ended up being almost 5,000 miles and 9 states, I think. And we did it in 5 weeks, and we had almost 300 promotional gifts that were given to us from all kinds of Memphis talent, musicians, artists, and authors. And we gifted them with all of the artist info and sort of gave them to people around the country as this, you know, holiday sort of random gift, random acts of kindness movement as sort of the idea that we went off of. But it went really well, and that was back in October.
Now, this was a sort of a goodwill tour to introduce Memphis artists and so forth?
Yes, it was. And it actually, I had the opportunity, I provided I think 10 prints of my artwork and 25 old pieces of jewelry that I had left in my inventory. And I was able to see that just sort of giving me things around, people were talking about it, obviously. It was generating curiosity and interest. And I benefited personally on my Facebook and my Twitter accounts and my websites, and just on a promotional level as an artist, send in a couple of digital copies of my art and, you know, give away some jewelry that hasn't sold. It was the best marketing idea I've ever done for myself. So
how many of you were involved in that?
There was 3 of us actually on the tour. We kept it pretty small.
And then you took donations from different artists and authors and others as gifts for you to give on this tour, right?
Yes. Yeah, so what we took were actual artist items or copies of their work, and all of their, you know, promotional info and how to support them and encourage them if you love their work. And there was a handwritten note on every single one of them that said, Find Love from Memphis Tour, you know, 2014. And if you found this and it's for you, if you don't like it, please give it to someone who loves it. And it was sort of the spirit of giving for the holidays. So yeah, the gift items were actually really clever promotional packages, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still gifts, you know, considering the circumstance, and the responses mm-hmm. were incredible. I cried a couple of times, too, that the responses that we got were so, it was very special. I'm
now,
planning another one.
Where did the idea come from? What caused you to do that?
Eventually, I would love to grow that into a way to actually take Memphis talent on a tour like that across the country, you know, in a certain period of time, whether they win the opportunity or earn the opportunity or I haven't figured it out yet, but one day it'll be a bus, you know, Memphis talent going around, you know, maybe twice a year, showcasing their work and promoting themselves and, you know, selling it and advertising and just sort of building an audience, because with the internet, everything has been so depersonalized. And when you get to engage with an artist and really feel the creative connection, I think everybody has that, going back to your blog. I think everybody has a creative passion, you know, everybody. I don't think it's optional. I think that's what a lot of people call God. To me, it's creative expression, and it's important for everybody to connect with that, because it teaches you to really love yourself. And most people live the life they want instead of the life they love. So I think that encouraging creativity and creating opportunities to pursue that, you know, whether you make a ton of money. I didn't make a ton of money as an artist after the tour, but I got to engage and build an audience in a way that was hands-on and really unique. I've never heard of anything quite like what we did.
Now you have plans to do at some point contest for I Am Creative Network, contest with participation from artists, authors, actors, creative people in the Memphis area. But I assume that's anybody who wants to participate in that will be able to do it. What is your idea there? I know that you've won a number of contests yourself. Are you thinking of making that same sort of thing available to creative types coming along?
Yeah, as someone who I'm really active in online contests, and my friends have said it's a problem, but it was a sort of a backdoor for me to quickly build an audience and establish myself in not just one creative field, but every creative field that I've ever wanted to pursue. So I'm trying to sort of teach people how to do that. And by providing the contest, I hope to, first of all, I think I've learned enough of what I don't like about them and the stuff that, you know, is reasonable and is not reasonable as far as contests go. A lot of them charge entry fees, and that's a huge red flag. If a contest is charging their participants, then they haven't built their network in the proper way to, you know, I don't like the idea of, if I wanted to give someone an opportunity, I don't want to have to take something from them first. I just want to give the opportunity. So the contest enables local businesses to provide opportunities to local talent, and it includes everybody. There are no exceptions. There's a creative way to incorporate you somehow. So the first contest launches on March 1st, and it'll go until March 15th, and then we'll have it's for artwork. So any artist out there, if you want to submit, you go to the I Am Creative Network on the on Facebook, and you just follow that. And all you have to do is post a picture of your work in the comment box and then have your friends and family go vote for it. You can only post one, and there's a two-week voting period, and then we'll have a top 10. And then the winner gets, you know, some prizes that will be officially listed on March 1st when it launches. But that's the first one, and the next one is going to be some musicians. So definitely started rolling.
Are there many companies that are participating with prizes and so forth?
Prize? At the overwhelming support that this idea has been receiving. And I think it's because it really does benefit everybody without really requiring very much. So, I don't know, it's sort of like the trade market, trade value, I don't.
Now, out of all these efforts and things that and this activity and in terms of creative things that you do, you've developed a bit of activity in marketing, and I think that might be some of our listeners. What are you doing in the marketing arena?
You know, as somebody who has decided to be an entrepreneur and pursue so many different kinds of the creative field, which is, you know, sort of unstable to begin with, I've had to learn quickly and, you know, be creative with my approach to marketing. So I don't necessarily have a definitive list of what I can do, but I can guarantee that I can figure it out because of the people involved on the network and how, you know, if I can't do it, then I can pass on the opportunity to get it done. So that's really more what it is.
You've actually kind of created a team situation where you've got people who can do different things.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be able to do it all yourself. You've got a team there working on it.
Right, and this is the first year that I've experienced working with the team. I've done my other three or four business ventures independently, and this is, I don't know what took me so long. It helps everybody, and I never thought, you don't think about incorporating, you know, others in jobs. You know, people take the word job, not literally per se, because I say I have a job, but someone else would consider an RF full-time artist someone who doesn't have a job. So I think it depends on your definition of that.
Well, a lot of people are afraid to work in team effort like that because they're afraid they'll lose that client. There's somebody else will come along and take that client away, but
you know, that has happened to me a couple of times with the fashion community. I would lose a lot of clients, but you don't really lose clients. I feel like certain people are just drawn to certain, you know, energies. And if I'm going to meet a client and then there's someone across the room, you know, another jewelry designer, and they're drawn to that person, it's usually the person over the work. So that's another reason that it's so important to express yourself, because it really connects you with who you are and helps you really live the life that you love instead of the life, you know, that you think you need.
Now, you originally established yourself in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit about how you got to Memphis.
I was born in Memphis, and I've lived in Arlington in the same house now for 15 years. I went to college in Washington, D.C., but I homeschooled, and I was in Arlington, so I was sort of, we were the only kids around, me and my twin sister, So we sort of grew up without a lot of outside influence. So I go from this very small world to Washington, D.C. and tried to start school, and it got really overwhelming. And I discovered silversmithing and how much I loved that. And I've been making jewelry since I was 8, but, you know, as a hobby. Mm-hmm. When I experienced D.C. and the different attitudes they had for young entrepreneurs, I was encouraged to pursue that skill and ended up coming home, you know, after studying for some time for family reasons. And I just was determined to continue to be a jewelry designer because I was doing it. I was doing it just fine. And then I come to Memphis and people, you know, of a higher intelligence and a career and, you know, people I should listen to were telling me, you know, that's not possible. You can't do that. And I disagreed.
So you just did it.
I was determined to show them that I did it here. It's just because you say I can't doesn't mean that it's not possible. I was already doing it. I didn't understand why I couldn't just bring it back and it would be accepted. And that fire under me to start doing as many things that I could. And I've probably had my finger on most of the creative places around. Memphis is really, really talented.
How would our listeners get to see some of your jewelry design work, for instance, and some of your award-winning singing and all that kind of thing? Is it on YouTube or on your website or what?
Because of the interesting marketing plan that I set up for myself years ago, you can just Google me and sort of YouTube will pop up. My website, though, is sort of the main hub, I guess, and it's got jewelry and some high fashion photos. It's got music, portraits, a DIY blog, contact form. So, and that address.
All they have to do is spell your name correctly.
Yes, K-A-R-I.
That's Kari.
Kari Fleskes, F-L-E-S-K-E-S, .weebly.com. And Weebly is that little free website, domain host. That's really fantastic. If there's anybody out there who needs to build a website, they're really great.
Weebly.com, how does it compare in terms of visitation to the more established website?
I think it's more user-friendly. Definitely easier to use, and you can get a lot. I think it's more efficient for people starting out, young people. And that's another thing that I plan on offering for the I Am Creative Network is building web pages for, you know, local businesses or artists or musicians or authors. And that's one of the places that I hope to partner with is Weebly. They're just really user-friendly.
And that's Kari Fleskes, K-A-R-I-F-L-E-S-K-E-S .weebly.com.
That'll be it.
That's that. All right. The interviews and then talking with you in the past, I've seen your comment that even though you are a jewelry designer and do artwork and illustrations and even have acted in a film, a local film that was made, that your mm-hmm. real love is writing, that you wrote your first book in 2007. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
I wrote my first book when I was 10 or 11. I self-published in 2007 because I was too young to have anyone even consider publishing me, so I was like, I'll do it myself. But it started with songwriting, really, poetry, and I started writing songs at 7 years old, and I got a guitar at 16, and that's been the main focus, songwriting. I really connect with that. I think you said something in your blog about when you channel that sort of spirit or connection or you know, the universe, whatever you want to call it, that you're really capable of doing beyond what you even can conceive that you wish you could do. And music and playing guitar in particular, because it just sort of happened one day. I couldn't, you know, you try to learn like everybody else does, and then you find your voice, and it teaches, you know, self-respect and appreciation. And writing was a way to be a little more intellectual, and then the songwriting was, it appeased my creative side. So I focused on that, but I also write a lot of screenplays, novels, and random genres, and blogs. I'm going to be starting blogs again. My philosophy for life is, don't be just anything you want, be everything you want. So if I even think that it sounds interesting, I'm probably going to jump right in, and I have very little regret in doing that.
The book that you, there a book that you would like to invite people to check out? And if so, where?
You know, the book, actually, there's only two copies, and the only reason I wrote it and wanted to get it published was to give it as a gift to someone. So there are only two, and I have one of them. I have several more on my computer that one day I'll get around to publishing.
Well,
you know people in
high places. You can get it published by iImpress.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but you know, artists are their hardest critic. You know, I'm a perfectionist, and nothing's ever complete in a creative stage. When you're totally creative, it's never done. So.
Well, it's like a painting, though. If you don't stop putting the brush to it, you never get it sold, never get it out.
Mhm. It's a bad habit. Procrastination is definitely one of the horrible habits. That'll keep you from being creative too. People talk themselves out of it. Say it's not important. I think it's really important.
Well, how did you find and come to be in a movie? And playing a role like you played, how does artwork and jury design and marketing put you in that position?
That was, all of those, I think, were random accidents with an intentional direction, if that makes sense. I wasn't necessarily interested in acting, but when I won Singer-Songwriter in 2000, or Singer-Songwriter for Yobi TV in 2011, I was cast as a lead role in a web series with Audrina Patridge. She was a reality TV star, I think, and now she's on Dancing with the Stars and does some other stuff. But I didn't do very well. I didn't do very well at all. So I sort of wanted, I was always interested in my head, wanting to redeem myself. And I had done a lead role in a music video, and the director of that music video texted me one day, and he said, hey, there's an audition. You need to go to it. And I wasn't planning on going, honestly. I wasn't really sure. I'm pretty shy. So a big movie, I wasn't going to go, but I just so happened to be in the area. So as I'm parking and walking up to the building, I'm trying to study the lines that I have to audition with. And I've never been to an audition before, and I was absolutely terrified. It was really intimidating. But they're the nicest people. It was Cellar Door Cinema, and they have been so fun. And the movie is called The Last Earth Girl Went to Space to Find God. And it's about, life versus death, I guess, on many, many, many
levels. Can you Google that, The Last Earth Girl? What did you say is the title?
The Last Earth Girl Went to Space to Find God. And there's some stuff on Google about it right now, but it's still being edited. It's still in edit mode. So it hasn't released yet, but it's looking good. And I'm the main character. I play Miriam Raskin. And it has been an incredible experience. I really enjoyed working on this project. It's been 3 years in the making.
What film company did that?
That's Cellar Door Cinema, and they've done
Cellar
several
Door.
Local movies.
Cellar
Door
Cinema.
Yeah, they've done a lot of local movies. Really fun stuff.
What else have they done? Do you remember off the top of your head?
They've done some pretty hilarious Vampire Hunter movies that I really enjoyed. And I have friends who several years, even before I ended up in this movie, I have friends sleeping on my floor in the middle because they were going to drive 2 hours to go to this movie to be vampires, and it ended up being Cellar Door somewhere in Mississippi. And they've done a lot of really fun projects. This one has been really fun. I got my own sort of spaceship in the movie. That was the best part thing. So they had vampires, but I got my own little space capsule. It was really awesome. It's been a lot of fun. I'm kind of sad we're done filming, to tell you the truth, but I can't wait for the premiere. And I'll be sure to post it on the Creative Network, because we'll be talking about that then too.
Well, you've got writing, you've got jewelry design, and you also do quite a bit of illustration work, artwork. And I think at one point you were doing primarily portraits, right?
Yes, that is my specialty, actually, is pencil and charcoal portraits. And they're really large. They're like 20 by 30, and they're pretty big.
Most people do them fairly small, 20 to 30 inch portraits, huh, in charcoal.
I think they're more impressive. Go big or go home. I had to figure out a way, honestly, to draw people to my table at festivals, and really large black and white faces that are, you know, interesting looking has really worked. So I continued to explore that.
And what kind of contracts are you generating with regard to, you're doing video work, right, as well, creating videos for marketing?
Yes. Right now the team is working on an animated video for a patent presentation for someone local who's really, really smart, going to revolutionize the plumbing industry. And the video is going to be really fun, and we're also building his website and doing a lot of all of those mass emails and keeping up with all of that work for him. So the network offers a lot of help.
Yeah, this man is a plumbing engineer by the name of Charles Herbers, and he has created two and patented two products that really could revolutionize the commercial plumbing and the construction in the construction business. So, and you're putting his work into an animated presentation, I take it.
Yes, and there's going to be a little bit of humor, a lot of education, and you'll be convinced in the first 30 seconds that every building needs this in the whole world. And that's been really fun. It's different because I've never even considered my line of work or the people that I work with or next to getting involved with something, what we're doing, but we were able to offer him a creative idea for presenting his patent, and he's been thrilled so far. I'm very pleased.
How are you using, if at all, the social media in your marketing?
Most of my social media that I have learned works best for the stuff that I do is Facebook and contests. I draw a lot of subscribers that go to my website from my YouTube channel, but most of it is from entering contests and sort of building a network within these little internet pockets of people that are like-minded, that are, you know, that want to be influenced by, you know, whatever I'm doing or want to learn or what have you. Mostly the contest, honestly, which is why I'm really excited to launch them for the network, because it really does build a community of people that will be long-time supporters of your work and everything that you do, because you get to watch you grow. And I have fans that still keep up, that have pre-ordered the movie and never acted before, you know, and they've already pre-ordered their DVD for, you know, and they came from YouTube 6 years ago. So That's one example of how when you really get involved in your field and really network, and you can build the relationships that will last a long time and also benefit you and inspire other people.
Okay, so people can see some of your work, from the jewelry designs to artwork and your music videos that are award-winning, by simply Googling Kari Fleskes, KARILESKES, or you can go to karifleskes.weebly, weebly.com. And check out some of the things that we've been talking about today, from her music awards to acting to artwork and jewelry design. Feel free to go check that out, or just simply Google her. I want to take a few moments and invite you to visit the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. And Kari, when we come back, I wonder if you might close out the show with some advice for our entrepreneurs or would-be entrepreneurs or people who think they would like to create something, whether for-profit or non-profit or whatever, what they would like to do. Would you be able to do that for us, give them a little bit of your insight and your experience? We'll come back to that in just a moment. I would like to invite you to go to iam-cor.org and view the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. There are 3 degree levels of study there. You can see what the courses are, what the degree levels are, and You can also download free ebooks. You can download the Searcher's Roadmap. You can the core document and the Unity Principles. These are free. There's also there a prototype of our new electronic magazine called Lightways, and you can download that as well. We're working to make that available on a very frequent issue basis, as where before we were doing on a quarterly basis. We're going to make that a much more frequent production. And you can see it all there at iam-cor.org. They also visit the bookstore by all means, and you'll see my books. There are 15 Renford books, and check us out. There's information there on what the book is about, and you can buy them right there on the spot if you so desire. I'd like to also invite you to go to youtube.com. Ben Renford Broadcast Network. That's R-E-N-F-O-R-D, Broadcast Network. And you will see six main sections on this site. One is the Laws of Material Wealth, first DVD, first of the four, which will give you a little idea of what the personal development program is all about. As I mentioned earlier, there's the book, the workbook, the DVDs, 54 weeks of support material, and 54 radio shows that you can access by going to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And that takes you to the home page of Radio by Renford. And all of the shows, in fact, shows going back 5 years are archived there. And you can find the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, week 1, week 2, week 3, all the way through to week 54. And the support material goes with it. And if you're doing something like that, by all means, email me. I am Renford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com. Or call me, 901-487-9365. And I'll see to it that you get the basics, or at least a CD that introduces the program. But you can get the DVD right there on the YouTube site. Also, the Bookman shows. I have a show that airs at 9:30 every Saturday evening on Comcast Cable Network Channel 17 called The Bookman Show, where we are interviewing authors and people involved in the publishing business, and that's at 9:30 on Saturday evenings. But a lot of people that don't get Comcast, you can go to this YouTube site, youtube.com, and then type in Renford Broadcast Network, and you can see these Bookman shows, and also the Core Concepts series. Core Concepts series is one where we invite religious and spiritual leaders to visit with us. The format is basically tell us what you believe, why you believe it, what you're doing about it, how you came to that belief, and as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? And that's the show. And it's I know that you can find out almost anything you want to about a religion on the internet, but I think you will find shows here that you wouldn't even know to look for. So by all means, come visit us there. Visit the Renford Theater, the audio books. This is a fairly comprehensive site, the Renford Broadcast Network. So you've got the blogtalkradio.com/Renford, the Renford Broadcast Network, and the iam-core.org campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. Please visit with us and let us know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. I am Renford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com. Now, we have a few minutes. I want to turn the show basically over to Kari for any advice, any suggestions that she can make to you entrepreneurs. If you're a would-be entrepreneur and you're a little shy about taking those steps and getting out there, this lady has no fear and has tried a number of different things and has accomplished something at them. So I think her advice would be well worth listening to. I'll turn it over to you, Kari.
All right. Actually, I'll have a lot of fear, but I don't make excuses. And I think that's a really important aspect of beginning a creative journey. The best advice I've ever been given is love what you do, love who you are, and love others enough to inspire them to do the same. So I always understood that is love something that you're doing every day. That will help you love who you are every day, and that will inspire those next to you to follow in the same footsteps. And on a creative level, if you don't know where to start, try everything. Don't just be anything. Be everything you want. And if that's still too overwhelming, you can go to iamcreativenetwork.weebly.com and connect with me, and we'll help you figure it out. So I guess the point is just don't make excuses, because the greatest aspect of yourself, you're going to be the most terrified to show anyone. So you have to follow the fear. Just don't make excuses.
I think we have a caller for you, Kari. Let me see here.
Cool.
Let's see what we've got. Yes, caller, you have a question for Kari?
This is you, Jim.
Yes.
This is Mark, the man with the hammer. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Kari?
Hi, Mark.
How are you? And I just love you. You're such a blessing. I want everybody to know. I know there's not much time, but I owe you for January the 19th. There's something I'd like to, on our meeting, my impressions of you, if I, with your permission, can share and let this audience know the kind of person that you are blessed to be.
Sure.
All right. To God be the glory, this is a gem. And this is for you, Kari. And all this, a gem. With 72 cents to her name, she came. Someone refreshing who doesn't pretend. Straightforward, kind, and to the point. Gifted she is, and I do see. I'm thankful she's in all of this. This blessing from thee who alone anoints. With 72 cents, she smiles with pleasing trust that bears no shame. How refreshing, Lord, for long and hard have been the miles. I'm glad she came. I know she'll be in all this a long while. Gifted she is, and I can see this blessing of tunnels and light that shines all about thee. She's your gift of organization and trust, and all this a must. Someone for real that doesn't pretend. My, how refreshing. All by you inspired with no second guessing. I know her 72 cents you'll be a blessing. And I'm thankful she's in all this too, for in her I see a gem. She's a gift only from you. Amen.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Kari, for being here.
Thanks for
having
me.
Mark, for your poem.
Thank you.
And come back and visit with us on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program next week. Have a good evening, everyone.